said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage from the scriptures that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him, for who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth and began with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So Acts chapter 8, if you wanted to have a Bible in front of you, you could, there's some down the side. Excellent. So we are starting today with our series, or rather the second week of a series on sharing faith. And I want us to pick out two main things about sharing faith from this morning. But first of all, a little bit of a quiz for you. Just by the way, do we know who that is? It's Jean. That's our new vicar, but he doesn't have a moustache anymore. So if you just kind of, you know, block that bit, you'll get an idea of what he looks like. Now, Jean has been on a bit of a journey to come to serve at our church. And so what I've done is you've got on the left, route A he could take, on the right, route B. And I'm just going to give you 15 seconds when I put the two routes up to see if you can work out which route would actually take Jean to St. Francis. Oh, good. So it's A. A would have taken him to that route. And as we think a little bit about Philip, I thought, isn't it the case that actually sometimes the route is really clear and obvious, and sometimes the route is far less obvious? Sometimes God guides us really clearly and it's really easy to know what to do, and sometimes he doesn't seem to guide us that clearly. And just a few examples from Philip. So Philip, he's possibly in his bed, he's certainly kind of just kind of staying still, really not going anywhere. And then the angel of the Lord says to him, "Go to the road." Doesn't tell him anything else, just says, "Go to the road." And so Philip goes off to the road, and you think, if it was me, I'd be saying to God, "What's the rest of the plan?" That's a tiny bit of it, but what next? Imagine if you prayed this week and God said to you, "Go into Salisbury and wait at the bus stop." You'd be kind of thinking, "Why? I'm going to feel weird there. I'm just going to stand there. What if you don't say anything else?" But Philip gets up and he goes on his way and he waits at the road. And he's still got his ears open. "God, are you going to tell me anything else?" And so this guy, this Ethiopian guy, comes along in his big chariot, and Philip sees him, and the Spirit says to him, "Go and get up into the chariot." A bit more guidance. But it's interesting, from there on in the story, God doesn't seem to talk any more to Philip. It's like, "I've got you in the chariot, now you're on default mode." In other words, now you're going to do the thing that you're called to do with your whole life all the time, which is to encourage them, to love people, to share about Jesus with them. "I've given you this much guidance, but actually from here on in, actually you've got some freedom." And so Philip continues on the way with the Ethiopian. Now hopefully I've got a picture of where they were off to. So the Ethiopian would have been down in Cush, which would have been kind of an area, that's what they would have called it back then. And it was a really, really wealthy area. He was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. And back then, the king wasn't that important. He was viewed almost like a spiritual sort of figure, but the queen actually had all the power. And this guy that Philip meets on the road was incredibly important. He would have been really looked on as a really key person. And so when God says, get up into his chariot, that would have been quite a big deal. Can you imagine if you go down to Salisbury and God said to you, go and wait at the bus stop, and then a Bentley pulls up, or a Rolls Royce, and God says, get into it. You'd be thinking, oh my goodness, this is weird. Like, you don't get in someone else's car. That's not how it works. And yet, Philip is told to do exactly that. We're going to move on a little bit. So that was our kind of first thought. Sometimes God guides us a bit, and we just need to walk at the pace that he gives us. And if he tells us a little bit of information, we just need to move forwards with the bit he's told us. And yet at other times, like with Philip, once he's got in the chariot, God basically lets him get on with what he should be doing normally, talking about Jesus and encouraging this guy. And sometimes that's true for us too, that God just gives us freedom and says, you can now just keep going with the thing I've called you to do. Second thing we're going to think about today is painting a picture or drawing a picture. But because I'm not a children's worker, I don't do paint and glitter. So I've got a marker pen. We're going to have a bit of a guessing game, and I thought Alex, being terrible at art, might help me. What I didn't know, he was going to have got me already on the screen. So here you go. I'd like you to draw this person. You're going to draw this person. No, but... That's your starting point. Okay? Now, you can call out guesses when you think you've got what Alex is drawing. If we're not done by lunchtime, you can go home. Right, go for it. If you've got a guess, feel free to call it out. Remember where you're starting. Anytime you've got a guess, feel free to shout it out. It's not David. I'll give you a clue. They're not in the Bible at all. Any more guesses? It's not a man. Could you step back just for a moment? Anyone guess? I'm thinking a Smurf so far. It's not a Smurf. Keep going, Alex. I've planned 2.5 minutes for this bit of my talk. It's female. It is the Queen. It is indeed a picture of the Queen. There we go. You can obviously see the similarities. Now, what made Alex's job much harder with that is that I told him to start with the feet. If he'd started with the crown, which he never got to, it would have been much easier, wouldn't it? But he started with the feet. And the thing I want us to think about is this, that the Ethiopian gives the starting point, that Philip gets up into the chariot and the Ethiopian says, I've got this bit of the Bible I don't get. And this is the bit of the Bible. In fact, it's the bit just before, so it's part of the same chapter he was reading. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Like sheep gone astray, each of us has turned our own way, but the Lord has laid the iniquity or the wrongdoing on him. He was oppressed and afflicted, but didn't open his mouth, and like a lamb led to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. Now, Philip has to start there. Because that's where the eunuch is. That's where the Ethiopian starts. And the thing that struck me is that from there, Philip then uses the rest of Scripture, the rest of his understanding, to explain to this bloke who Jesus is. Now, I could have told Alex, start with the hand. I could have said, start with the foot. I could have said, start with the crown. But ultimately, he was always trying to draw the queen. And the thing I want us to take from this is that Philip was always going to try and paint a picture of Jesus. He was always going to try and help this guy to understand the good news of Jesus. But he has to start with the question the Ethiopian has. He has to start with that question of, what does this bit mean about Jesus and his death? And then he goes to explain the rest of it. Now, my friends and your friends, I don't know about them actually, but my friends certainly wouldn't start off going, is Jesus really the one who died and rose? There's very few of them who I find walking around with the Bible, and I can just go, oh, let me explain that to you. Most of them, though, would have a question about prayer, or about evil, or about something else. And that's where I start. But my challenge for us this morning really is, Do I always know what picture I'm trying to paint? Ultimately, I'm always trying to paint this picture of Jesus and the good news about Jesus. Now, I would encourage you, in my Bible, I've got bits of Romans underlined. And I know that if I have someone ask me a question, these are my really obvious bits to explain what Jesus is about and the good news. And I might encourage us all, actually, if we're trying to paint a picture of Jesus, have we underlined bits in our Bible which would be my go-to bits? So that next time someone says to me, well, what about this? What about Jesus? I can say, well, look, this is the good news. I start with their question. Hopefully I do a better job than Alex. And I'm going to paint a picture of Jesus. I'm going to help them to get what the good news is. So what are we going to take from this morning? Hopefully that we are following God's guidance, just like Philip, that he listened out to God and he kept listening. If we get no guidance, like Philip did for quite a lot of this story, then we just keep on track. We keep sharing what Jesus is about. We start with people's questions, but we remember, actually, I'm trying to paint a picture of Jesus. I'm trying to help people to understand who Jesus is. And so I hope that encourages us. I hope you've got something in your head that you think, oh, I know what I'm going to do next with this. I might get prayer for some guidance. I might remind myself of what God's been speaking to me and directing me on. It might be that you go home and you get your Bible out and you start to look for those bits of it that are really easy to use to explain what Jesus is about. Or perhaps like I did before this, I thought back over the conversations I'd had. And I thought, am I painting a picture of Jesus when I talk to people? Or am I just painting a picture of the church? Or am I painting a picture of something different? Am I clearly showing people what the good news is all about? So let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you so much for this story of Philip and the Ethiopian. We thank you that Philip listened and that you spoke and directed. And we pray for us that as we try and share our faith with other people, that we would have our ears open to what you would be whispering and saying to us. Lord, we thank you that where Philip didn't seem to hear what to do next, that he just continued with the default. He continued with what you had told him, to talk about you, to share you. And Lord, I pray that just like our picture this morning, that you would help us to have a really clear idea who is Jesus and to be painting that picture of good news to our friends and anyone who asks us about faith. In Jesus' name, amen.